fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 20-team Rugby World Cup kicks off Friday in Japan. Neighbors Namibia and South Africa are the African teams in the tournament, which goes through November 2nd when the final will be played in Yokohama, Japan. The Springboks of South Africa are two-time world champions, and they have a marquee match on Saturday in Yokohama against the reigning title holders from New Zealand. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The New Zealand All Blacks received a warm Tokyo welcome ahead of this year's Rugby World Cup. The All Blacks entered this year's tournament as the defending champions, having won the World Cup title in both 2011 and 2015. And Captain Kieran Reid says the pressure is on to clinch a third consecutive title.
Obviously, there's pressure, but it's, I guess, how you look at that pressure. You know, whether that's something to overcome you or you walk towards that and actually enjoy it. So we wouldn't be sitting here and being a part of this tournament if we didn't really relish those opportunities to play at the highest level. And the World Cup is the highest level. It's what you want to do when you pick up this game and play for your country. So, look, we walk towards that expectation and we really relish it. So that's what we're hoping to do this tournament.
The All Blacks opened their bid towards a third championship with a highly anticipated match against the South African Springboks. And All Blacks player Patrick Tuipulotu says the upcoming clash will be a big test for New Zealand.
World Cup aside, any time we play South Africa, it's a big test match. I think the more pressure there is with the World Cup and how it stands with all the standings in that, it certainly adds to the pressure. And I think for us, it's about us getting things right during the week so we can come Saturday and treat it like another big test match, as it should be.
And while it may just be another test match for New Zealand, All Blacks assistant coach Ian Foster says the team is always at a heightened state whenever they face South Africa.
We can only guess what the South Africans are going to do. But, you know, what we do know is that they're a top quality team. They're confident. They've been working hard on some aspects of the game, it looks from the outside, and getting some good results with that. So, you know, we've got to go into a game assuming, like always, that what we've seen before and what we've guessed they're going to do is that that's the pitch we're going to see, but then we've got to be smart enough to adapt during it.
New Zealand defeated South Africa in a tight semi-final match at the World Cup in 2015, but this year South Africa enters the tournament in winning form, having suffered only one loss in their last seven matches. And coach Rassie Erasmus says his team has a really good chance of winning Saturday's match.
If you ask anybody right now who's going to win this test match, you know, I don't think anybody can bet on any of the two teams. I guess if you ask our boys, we think we've got a really good chance. I think you asked Steve and their team, you know, I think they think they have a really good chance, you know, and hopefully the referee is not too sure, you know. So I think that's the way it should be, and that's the way World Cup should be, and it's a great opener for us, and that's why it's special, you know. We certainly are looking forward to see what their team is going to look like tomorrow. I think they are waiting to see. They now know what our team looks like. That's a massive build-up, and we're enjoying it thoroughly. And I'm sure as we get into Friday evening, Saturday morning, the nerves will get more.
And the two teams will not only have the challenge of fighting off nerves and each other. Coach Erasmus says they'll also have to fight through Tokyo's humidity and the threat of rain.
I think it's going to be a massive challenge, especially with the rain they're predicting. And also, even if it's not going to rain, everybody's talking about the humidity and the slippery ball and you know, the wetness of the arms and the, you know, the ball is really slippery. So kicking is going to play a big part, but somehow you have to score points. You know, you can't just get it by penalties and drop goals. So I think scoring from bad kicks and scoring and fielding kicks and living off those bad kicks is going to play a big part. So yes, first of all, kick execution is going to be important, and then the fielding of kicks and really pouncing on bad kicks is going to be a big part of it.
Both South Africa and New Zealand have an unblemished record of qualifying for the quarterfinals at every World Cup tournament they have appeared in, and it's expected that this year will be no exception. The 2019 Rugby World Cup begins on Friday in Japan, and we'll keep you updated on tournament results right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. And that's all from me for now. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, shoppers flocked to the Rugby World Cup mega store in Tokyo on Wednesday to buy goods from their favorite teams 2 days before the tournament kicks off. Fans from Japan and overseas filled their shopping bags with items from shirts and rugby balls to towels and mascot dolls. According to the store manager, more than 5,000 customers visit the shop, and they're expecting more to come during the Rugby World Cup. The limited-time store opened its doors on August 22nd, and it's located near Tokyo's busy Shinjuku Station. Turning to athletics, USA Track and Field has named a 141-member team for next week's World Championships in Doha, Qatar. The star-studded USA team features 8 reigning world champions and 13 gold medal winners from the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The oldest member of the American squad is 41-year-old Roberta Groner, who will compete in the women's marathon in Qatar. And the youngest member is 19-year-old pole vaulter Zach Bradford. World record holder Kendra Kenny Harrison will represent the United States in the women's 100 meters hurdles. Kenny set the world record 3 years ago in London, where she clocked 12.20 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Kenny recently at a meet in Birmingham, England. Here's Andy.
Kenny Harrison is the world record holder in the women's sprint hurdles, and she's been talking about how in her collegiate career, well, she was running the 400 hurdles as well. And, well, I'm not sure whether she was holding out tantalizing prospects of maybe one day coming back to the one-lap hurdles. But, Kenny, how was there a moment when you felt, well, right, I've got to concentrate on the 100-meter hurdles instead of the one-lap?
I think 2015, when I graduated, it was like going into USA's, I was ranked number 2 in the world in the 100 and 400 hurdles. And my coach said, it's up to you. You can choose which event you want to do. And I just loved the 100 hurdles more. I mean, the 400 hurdles, it hurts. So I was just like, I'm going to try the 100 hurdles. And so that's how I chose that event. I like it better.
And, of course, you've been very successful. World record in London 3 years ago. Has it? Well, I mean, it may sound strange to say, well, if you're a world record holder, has that been a burden? But sometimes, does it feel that, oh, I'm always trying to get close or get under that time?
Right now, I'm not really thinking too much about the world record. I think during 2016, it was like, okay, you didn't make the Olympic team, so now what can you do to lift yourself up, lift your spirits up, and, you know, the world record was next. So that's why it was so important that that I did that for myself. But now it's just, I want to go and get medals. That's the main thing. You know, everyone says, like, the records are the hardest to get. So now the medals are next. And, you know, once I'm able to, you know, do what I think I can, I think that's when it's like, okay, now you can try another event. But
in the Müller Grand Prix, the latest round of the Diamond League in Birmingham in England, you've got the heats of the sprint hurdles and then a final. And it sounds from you talking that you kind of like that in a one-day meeting, but you like it. It's almost replicating a championship.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's just like the first round. You can just kind of go out there and get your nerves out. And fix things that, you know, maybe a little rusty. Like say my trail leg was like a little bit behind, and it's like, all right, finals, I need to pull my trail leg. You know, it's stuff like that. So I think everyone always does well with rounds. So I'm looking forward to that.
Just one more thing, coming back to that world record in London. Do you look at video of that? I mean, you talk about sort of, oh, my trail leg and everything, or do you just say, well, look, that was 3 years ago, and let's look at more recent stuff?
I don't really watch it a lot, but my coach always references back to it during practice sometimes, like, okay, well, like, the last three hurdles you floated, so, like, we need to work on that. Or, you know, your start, you didn't get out as hard as you possibly could, so we need to work on that. So it's just taking bits and pieces and just trying to fix where I may, like, lack.
Well, Kenny, there may be bits and pieces to fix, but there haven't been that many so far in recent years. The world record holder, Kenny Harrison, in the sprint hurdles. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The Voice of America. I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Zip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In the Women's National Basketball Association playoffs, the Washington Mystics and the Connecticut Sun both posted victories at home in the first games of their respective semifinal series. Here in Washington, the Mystics edged the Las Vegas Aces 97-95, while the Sun defeated the visiting Los Angeles Sparks 84-75. The Mystics got 51 points from their two tallest players, 24 points from Elena Deladon and 27 points from Belgian forward Emma Mieseman. Las Vegas was led by Aja Wilson, who had 23 points, while a couple of her teammates, the big Australian Liz Cambage and Kayla McBride, added 19 points each. The Mystics rallied from a 7-point halftime deficit and then held on through a 16-5 run by the Aces at the end of the game. Meanwhile, in Connecticut, Alyssa Thomas had 22 points and grabbed 10 rebounds to lead a balanced Sun offense in their victory. Jasmine Thomas added 19 points for the Sun, which won its first WNBA playoff game since 2012. Candace Parker, a two-time league most valuable player and a five-time WNBA All-Star, had 24 points and 10 rebounds for the Sparks. The WNBA has a best-of-five format for the semifinals in the league playoffs. Game two in both series will be Thursday night in Connecticut and here in Washington. Well, the recent AfroBasket Continental Championship Tournament in Senegal showed how women's basketball is growing in Africa. A capacity crowd of 15,000 attended the final between Nigeria and host Senegal at the Dakar Arena. It's reportedly the largest attendance ever for a basketball game in Africa. The Tigress of Nigeria defeated the Senegalese women 60-55 for their second consecutive African title and fourth overall. Joe Lopez is the director of Seed Academy in Senegal. Ricky Shryock asked him about the rising popularity of basketball among women.
Girls basketball has really grown on this continent. You see Nigeria played really well at the Africa Championship, at the AfroBasket, but you also saw them when they played at the World Cup where they won two games. That was the first ever that an African team had won at that level. Of course, most of the players that play for Nigeria and some who play for Senegal do play and train in the United States and in Europe. Hence, their performance is always enhanced because the level of competition in those countries is much higher.
In places like the U.S. and Europe, where women, where girls get to develop their basketball talent is through public schools. Do you guys have an idea of how that would happen in a different way than it happens in the U.S.? I doubt you could use the same approach that the U.S. has.
You hit it spot on. Right. We cannot probably emulate what the U.S. has done, but we can take lesson. We can learn from it. You cannot develop any kind of sport, not just basketball, without having an intercollegiate aspect of the sports. I learned to play basketball in Senegal back in the 60s and 70s, and we had intercollegiate team. You know, I had a high school team that I played for, you know, and I competed against other high schools. We need to really think about restarting the intercollegiate, or maybe rather the inter-high school competition, to just give girls, you know, and young boys an opportunity to compete. We used to have that. We used to have that in Senegal. And we need to go back into the archives and, you know, start doing it again.
In Senegal, at least, when you talk about boys and men, you've got football, you've got wrestling. Those are the big sports. And then basketball's trying to compete with those other sports. With girls, you don't see them. They don't do wrestling as much. And then there's not as much in terms of soccer or football as well. So do you think basketball is uniquely poised with girls and women to become a popular sport?
You are really hitting spot on what seems to be the issue here, right? Girls basketball in Senegal, does not compete with any other sports. I mean, in the U.S., the women's soccer program is huge. Here, we don't have that issue. So basketball, like you said, is poised to really become a women's sport on this continent. And I keep talking about Seed because that's what I know and that's what I run here. We at Seed have begun to put a lot of emphasis on the girls' program.
That's Joe Lopez, the director of Seed Academy in Senegal. And Joe spoke with Ricky Shryock from Dakar. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joe Lopez mentioned how the U.S. women's soccer program is huge here in the United States. The American women clinched their second consecutive world title in July and record fourth overall by beating the Netherlands 2-0 in Lyon, France. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, let's listen in again to the post-match report by Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Lyon.
The first half was goalless, and Captain Megan Rapinoe, in the 61st minute, scored a VAR-awarded penalty for her side.
For us older players especially, to be able to carry a lot of that load and just set the right example for the younger players is absolutely a huge reason why we've been so successful.
Rose Lavelle got the second goal in the 69th minute to seal the victory for USA. After the game, most of the Netherlands fans who filled the Lyon Stadium looked very disappointed and could not express their thoughts. But I caught up with Michael, who drove all the way from Holland to Lyon to watch the final.
I'm very, very disappointed because when you look at the team right from the beginning, I could see my team were so down and the tactical wasn't so good. And even the person who was playing the wings had to strike, and the striker has to go to the wings. And looking at the shots, you could see my team were very down. They played around 3 shots or something like that. And America were around 15, 16 shots. It was very bad. I'm very, very disappointed.
So how do you see the Americans?
The Americans were very good, very strong, very sharp. And, you know, their tactics were very good. The possessions, everything was very perfect. Yeah, so I think they deserve it. They deserve it.
After the game, the FIFA Technical Study Group awarded USA captain Rapinoe with Adidas Golden Ball.
It's no surprise. I mean, we put on, as all players, I'm saying, every player at this World Cup, put on the most incredible show that you could ever ask for. We can't do anything more to impress more, to be better ambassadors, to take on more, to play better, to do anything.
The Adidas Golden Boot was won by USA captain Rapinoe.
We had some incredibly tough games to play, games where didn't play that well, games where we were under the pump, points in different games where it was very difficult, a lot of media attention, a lot of pressure, extremely difficult teams that we had to play. Our run through the tournament was very difficult.
Goalkeeper and captain of the Netherlands, Sari van Veenendaal, won the Adidas Golden Glove. Germany's Gulia Gwyn took the FIFA Young Player Award, while the FIFA Fair Play Trophy went to the France team. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Lyon.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's sample some reaction to the USA women winning their 4th World Cup title in France. My VOA colleague Nike Ching, writing at the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, says, "It's just amazing! Salute to Rose Lavelle for creating many opportunities for teammates and scoring her beautiful and awesome goal, securing the win." And Nike says, "Of course, salute to Megan Rapinoe for the first goal during the penalty kick. She was as calm as ice under pressure." Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, also writing at my Facebook page, says, "Congratulations to the USA. The USA women are incredible in football. I watched the final," says Magnus, "and I can say that it was a well-deserved win. Of interest also is the eye-catching saves made by the Netherlands goalkeeper. Despite the loss and the goals from the USA, I think the Netherlands goalkeeper was outstanding in the final." And Todd the Tractor Gothberg writes, "Love everything about the USA team and these American women."
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you go to my Facebook page on this Wednesday, you'll see a photo of Washington Mystics star Elena Delladon driving to the basket Tuesday night in the WNBA playoffs. Delladon is a strong candidate to win her second League Most Valuable Player trophy. She's already been named WNBA Player of the Year by the Associated Press. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the Mystics edged the Las Vegas Aces 97-95 to take a 1-0 lead in their best-of-5 semifinal playoff series. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Associated Press photographer Nick Wass, who took the shot of Delladon in action at the Entertainment and Sports Arena in Southeast Washington. The 4,200-seat arena opened about a year ago, and it's the new home of the Washington Mystics. And after visiting the arena for the first time a few months ago, I give it a Sunny Side of Sports big thumbs up. There's not a bad seat in the house, and it has a great atmosphere. And that wraps up the September 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Velarich. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, migrants from Nigeria, Ethiopia, Zambia, and Kenya have been the target of personal attacks and their businesses have been looted. Xenophobia in South Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America.
Listen, we need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
It's Upfront Wednesdays at 17:30 UTC
right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Sleep deprivation has long been linked with having a higher risk for cardiovascular disease and even death from coronary heart disease. A study published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine suggests one possible reason is that having a bad night of sleep can cause blood pressure to spike. The researchers studied 300 men and women between the ages of 21 and 70 with no history of heart problems. The participants wore portable blood pressure cuffs and had their blood pressure randomly measured over a two-day, two-night period. To gauge their sleep efficiency, they also wore devices that measured movement as they slept. The researchers found that the participants with lower sleep efficiency readings also showed an increase in blood pressure during the night and a higher systolic or upper number blood pressure the following day. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. voanews.com.
Hi, VOA's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of some of the world's greatest experts on international issues. But you don't have to tune in at broadcast time. Listen when you want. Just go to voanews.com. Click the Programs tab and scroll down to International Edition.
Voice of America!
When news is happening, VOA Africa is there.
Mohammed Yusuf of VOA News, Nairobi.
Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Joba.
Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
VOA correspondents take you right to the center of events as they're happening. And this is where you hear it all on VOA Africa.
This is VOA News. I'm Jim Bird.